Praise the Lord. I want to make an announcement. You know, we took up an offering to send to Brother Roel and his family to go toward the hospital bill last Sunday, and we took up $2,650. And we went and I went and wired that money Western Union, and Sister Soriano picked it up the next day, and praise the Lord. And I want to thank you for giving from your hearts. Amen. And I have an update. Yesterday afternoon, they had a family meeting with the doctors, and all the doctors were there, but there wasn't no heart doctor there because there's no problems with his heart, which is wonderful because he had heart trouble before he went in there, and so that, you know, COVID would definitely affect your heart. It affects all your organs. They don't know actually what all it does can do, and I was told that there was a young man, 42 years old, young man, that didn't have any health problems before, went in and had COVID, and went into the hospital. He came out after he got over COVID and had heart failure, and they said it was because of the COVID. So it can cause a lot of different things. So praise the Lord that his heart is doing all right, Brother Roel's. What they're addressing now is there's a bacterial infection in the blood and in the lungs, and they're addressing that with antibiotics. And this is causing infection is causing the low blood pressure and fast heartbeat at times, and also there's some water retention that's also contributing to the low blood pressure. And he's on dialysis continually, and but right now they're saying his immune system's weak, but they never gave him any drugs to help him fight the COVID because of the weakness he had already in his kidneys and his heart and all these things, because the drug that helps fight him is hard on your organs as well. And so they didn't give him the drug, so his immune system fought off the COVID, and he's 100% free of COVID now. So that was the Lord. That's a miracle. And so we praise God for that. And let's see, I got a little more here. Sister Soriano and her daughter Paula prayed and praised God for the things that were done at that point. And they said there may be many setbacks along the way, but this is just making us more desperate and cling to God. We're so at peace after our prayer. And then I went down to the ICU, and when I came in, his oxygen was at 85, and they were trying to make it go up. The doctor said he had secretions that they were suctioning, so hopefully that gets better. Then he started to say that his latest x-ray doesn't look good. I just listened, but I was at peace. I didn't even look at the numbers on the machines. All I was thinking of was our miracle in the making, and we will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. So just continue to pray for Brother Roel. And I know it's a hard thing when, as a family member, when your loved one is going through something, you know, that where honestly death's knocking on the door. And so just pray for him. You know, there's many things around to try to discourage them. There's another brother over there that I had met was a pastor, 44 years old. He caught COVID and died suddenly. And so his son and his wife and I left behind. And so don't know what's going to happen to the church. We met him in Cebu, the city of Cebu, and we didn't get to preach there, but we were flying through there. So we'd come into that airport, so we took some time, took a taxi, went out, met with this brother, and drank some coffee with him, and saw his little church building and things, but then we had to get back to the airport. And I knew his father. I didn't really know him so well, but I knew his father. His father was Brother Rocky, and I met Brother Rocky the first time I went to the Philippines, and he was a really great missionary of the Lord, and he had passed away some years ago. And the little church there has went through some hardships and need our prayers. But continue to pray for Sister Soriano and her daughters, Paula and Indy, and that the Lord would strengthen them and that they'll keep faith. And we just ask the Lord to raise up Brother Oel. Brother Oel is like, he's like the spearhead of the missions over there. And so the Lord has really used him greatly in spreading the gospel throughout the Philippines. And so let's just hold him up in prayer. And that's where we've went and had meetings on first of November, a couple of times where they had the convention in a big parking garage that my dad had helped fund and to build. I don't know how many people were in there. It was just full of people. And that was at Brother Roel's church. So they have that every year. And he has a youth camp every year right before that. And so, of course, last year was no having anything, and there won't be this year because they're still not having in-person services there at Brother Roel's. Because they've had several from the congregation pass away. But let's just remember them, remember the church in prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's just go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're thankful, God, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we hold Brother Roel and his family up in prayer. We ask, dear God, that you will touch Brother Roel, dear God, and heal him, raise him up again, dear God. I pray, dear God, for the church there, Lord, you'll strengthen them, Lord, and keep them strong. Lord, this is a time when, Father, we need to be still and know that you're God and be strong in the Lord. And Father, we know that we do grow strength. We draw strength one from another, Lord. But God, there's times when, Lord, you have us stand alone, dear God. And your strength, Lord, stands through us. And Father, we need to be able to stand on our own, Father. For as the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Lord, we asked for Brother Gene Berryhill this morning. God, he called me, wasn't feeling well, dear God, and he's come down with some sickness. Lord, I pray you'll touch him, dear God, and heal him. We ask for the service this morning, dear God, that you'll be with us, that you, Lord, lead us through the scripture. May you anoint us, dear God, that we may bring the word, dear God, of the thought which you've laid upon our heart, dear God, for the people. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I'd like to turn to 2 Kings chapter 3. And what I want to speak on this morning, what I really had on my heart, is rededication. Rededication. 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. And the king of Israel said, "At last the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha says, "The Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand. Surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of God. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop up all the wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, and that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil." And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what we've just read, the king of Israel was actually the son Jezebel's daughter. And so when he was, Elisha was speaking to him, that's why he said, "Get you to the prophets of your father and your mother." And he wanted nothing to do with him. And Elisha actually became angry had even seen the king of Israel. And the reason was because that he was not worshiping Jehovah. And so the three kings had gathered together to come against Moab. And Elisha then got in an ill mood about it because of the king of Israel. And so he called a minstrel. And the minstrel came and played, and when it did, it changed the atmosphere that was there around the prophet. And then once the atmosphere was changed and the mood of the prophet became changed, then the hand of the Lord was able to come upon him and him to prophesy. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, dig the valley full of ditches." And so the water didn't see rain nor wind nor thunder nor anything, but water came from the wilderness. And then, as we've read, They were able to, by the Moabites being deceived by what they saw, they were able to slay the Moabites, and they took rocks and they marred the wells of the Moabites and stopped them up, and they cut down their trees, and they came against them and smote them even into their own country. And so they were in a desert. And it seemed like a strange thing for Elijah to tell them in a place where there was no water to dig ditches for water. But what he was telling them was, it's not going to come from some, what you would consider a natural source, but it's going to be God that's going to fill this valley full of water. And what they had to do was they had to dig the ditches. And you realize the bigger they dug the ditches, the deeper they dug the ditches, why, the more water they were going to be able to retain, to be able to drink and to water their cattle and water their horses and their livestock and water their people. And so it wasn't for them to worry about where the water was going to come from, but it was for them to dig the ditches. And that's the way it is with us when it comes to our healing. Don't worry about how the healing is going to come about. Don't worry about how God's going to get it there. What you need to do is dig a ditch and let God come and fill the thing full of water. Let God come and do the healing. Let God come and answer whatever the problem is that you have in your life. Why, just get yourself consecrated before the Lord and just get down and pray. We preached on prayer last Sunday. And you need to get down and pray and just pour yourself out before the Lord until you come into His presence. And you know, I found that one of the ways to come into the presence of God when you're praying is, don't get down and start asking for the things you need, but instead come there and begin to praise Him and to worship Him and thank Him for all that He's done. And you'll see that as you do that, the presence of God will come down. And once you're in the presence of God, then you know that you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to receive whatsoever you ask for. And so, Brother Branham said, when you're digging a ditch, well, he said, stick your shovel down. If you hit an old tin can, just throw it out. That's that guy that says days of miracles is past. Just kick him out of the way and dig on. Get down there, and then when you hit another one, says, well, I'll tell you, I believe those things are just simply a psycho workup, mental telepathy or something. Kick him out of the way and keep digging. The deeper you dig, the more water you're going to have. That's right. Now lay aside that saying, well, I may get healed tomorrow night. I may get healed tomorrow afternoon. In the service, just lay that aside and say, I'm going to get healed right now. This is the time. I'm going to dig a ditch here that when the Holy Spirit falls, my heart's going to fill up, and I'm going to jump up and start running, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to be healed. The deeper you dig, the more water you'll have. He says, now they didn't hear any rain. Didn't see any rain. There was no clouds, no wind, no thunder, no lightning. But the water came. Oh my, don't you worry. You get the ditch ready. God will produce the water. When you get all the unbelief out of the way, then God will produce the rest. And that's the way it is, friends. Satan's always on hand to try to have some comforter there for you to diminish your faith in some way, to bring unbelief to you. But just once you can get all the unbelief out of the way. And the way to do that is, don't sit down and try to reason about it. Don't sit down and try to figure it out. Because the ways of God are past figuring out. God makes the impossible possible. He does things that where it seems like it can't be done, God does it. God does the work. So once we can get all the unbelief out of the way, you might say, well, I haven't felt good in months. I'm too weak. Well, just get up, stand to your feet anyhow and see what God will do. God will come on the scene. All he's waiting. Friends, our walk is a walk of faith. It's not a walk of feeling how we feel. It's not a walk of you realize the things that we look at in this world, in this life, that we look at as realities are not realities. The reality is God is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide himself a sacrifice. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Shammah. Those are the realities. He's the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. He is your banner. He goes before you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard against him. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's reality. The realities of God are more real than this desk that I'm standing behind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not looking at some man-made book, some man-made organization, some man-made something or other. This is the hand of Almighty God that we're trusting in. So what we need to do is get the ditch ready and then see what will take place. Hallelujah. Don't worry about how it's going to come, how God's going to do it. Like I said, try to reason it out. You know, many times we get to where we start looking at the circumstance rather than looking at the promise. We look at our circumstances in our lives a lot of times, and it gets us down, and it gets us feeling alone, and it gets us feeling depressed, and it gets us in sometimes worked up in a real frenzy, and sometimes we get all worked up inside emotionally because we're looking at the situation instead of looking at the promise of God. He said he would take care of us. He said he would supply our needs. He told us in his word that if he took care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more would he take care of his children? God can take care of things that we can't. A lot of times we're too busy trying to take care of it ourselves instead of getting out of the way and letting God do it. Thus saith the Lord, he said, dig this valley full of ditches. Might not seem like there's going to be any rain. Hallelujah, but there's going to be. There's going to be water anyway. Brother Branham said the water came from the wilderness. And he said there was a rock in the wilderness which Moses had smote. And Moses smote the rock and water come forth. And he said, there's still a rock in the wilderness that's got water coming out of it. Water for healing, water for deliverance, water for salvation, water for solving your problems. It's a solution. God is a solution. Well, we get down sometimes to where we get dry in our life. And we get a little cold. And we get so involved in the things of everyday life, and we get involved in some of the pleasures in life, and we get wrapped up in other things to where what we do is we start praying less, and we start reading less, and we stop listening to the message. And we get to where the only time we hear anything out of the Bible is when we come to church. And we begin to grow cold. And we begin to get to a place to where what we once were when we first came to God, we're no longer feeling that. That joy we used to feel when we came into church, we're not feeling that joy like we used to. We're not coming with the expectation of I can't wait to get there because I know I'm going to feel the presence of God. And, you know, you think that it's all on God's part why you're not feeling his presence. But I'll tell you, friends, his presence is here this morning. If you're not feeling it, it's because you need to dig a ditch in your life, in a dry place, and let the waters of God that's coming forth this morning flow into your life. Hallelujah. Make ready for the water. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get to a place where you've got a deep burden, something pressing on you, and you don't know why it is. Brother Branham was talking about that in a message of he that is in you. He preached on in the evening on 1963 November. And he preached this in the evening, and he was telling the people, he said he'd had something really pressing on him. And it was really bringing him down, and he began to search his life. Was he praying enough? Was he reading enough? Where was his life with God? And had he done something against somebody? And that's why he was feeling what he was feeling, and he couldn't explain what he was feeling, but or why he was feeling it, but it just kept pressing on him to a point to where it was just making him real nervous. And he stayed tore up and nervous about it and didn't know why. He didn't know what it was. And he prayed and he asked God, what is it, Lord? Why am I feeling this way? And then he said, then the answer came that morning when he preached the message, souls that are in prison now. And he said what it was, that was just pressing on him. And there was something coming. He didn't even know what God was bringing to him. He didn't know that was going to be the message until God brought it. But it was something pressing on him that he could not explain. And then when he preached that message about souls that are in prison now, then he understood why he had been feeling what he was feeling. And he said, you know, how can I say this without hurting you? How can I say it that it'll take effect? Was what he was thinking about that message of souls in prison. Now, how can I say it to show the people, not picking on them, that you love them? How can you be strict and firm yet be loving? How are you going to present it? And woe is to me if I didn't present it. And there you are. No wonder it kept me so nervous and tore up. Hallelujah. But I said that sometimes we grow a little cold in our walk with the Lord. And it isn't that we purposely done something or turned our back on anything or that we wanted to get a cold in our life. We just let the things of our everyday life until we begin to become lukewarm. We're still coming to church. We're still, you know, singing, still clapping our hands. We still set to hear the preaching. And then we go home, but there's just something that's not there. Something missing. And you know what it is? It's not something that's missing with the preaching. It's not something that's missing with the time we assemble. It's not something that's missing with the what you're doing. You're still going to church. You're still singing. You're still doing these things, although sometimes people get cold and they won't even sing in church. Now, you know you're cold then when you won't come and sing in church. But what it is, you've just let your life become dry. And you know, when Brother Branham said, when you get a little dry, that's when stickers come up. That's when you find out that spirits of criticism will come upon you. And you'll begin to be judgmental of other people and critical of other people. And you get a little stickery because you're getting dry. You know, and that's the time when you need some water to get rid of all the dryness, to get rid of all the stickers. And what you need to do, I know I keep saying this about digging a ditch, but what we need to do is spiritually this morning, we need to dig down. And we need to say, God, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to rededicate my walk to you. I want it back the way it used to be, when I would feel the joys of the Lord, when I felt happy about coming to church, when I felt happy about getting around the other brothers and sisters, when I felt happy about praising God, when I felt happy when I heard the word come forth, when it did something for me that when I walked out of here, I had a different skip in my walk, that there was just something in my spirit was lifted. Amen. Now, I went back over the messages that's being preached here, not just the messages I've preached, but the messages Brother Fields preached. And I'll tell you something, friends, if you're walking out of here and not being full of joy, it's not the part of the preaching that's going on, because God's bringing the word. But it's us, ourselves, individually. And I'm talking to myself this morning. I might get up here and preach. I might sound excited and all this when the anointing comes on me. But friends, I've got a daily walk with God just like you do. Brother Branham says here in the message, "The meanest man I know, some of you haven't loved him like you should. Some of you are real honorable Christians, but you haven't loved him like you ought to. And you know you're guilty. You don't pray enough. I'm going to put up my hand now. I don't pray enough. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of my life. I asked him to come to this meeting, and I'm ashamed of my life before him." This is the prophet now speaking. "I'm ashamed of my life before him. I'm with you. I'm ashamed of my life before Jesus. Bless his heart. He came from heaven this morning to visit us, came to talk to us, speak to us. He's speaking to us right now. I'm ashamed to be Pentecostal with the life that I've lived." Now you think about it. We think about Brother Branham, we think, well, what is he talking about? The life that he lived. Why, he was a prophet of God. He lived a good life. But friends, he had a walk, an individual walk with God, the same as you do. He had to pray. He had to read his Bible. Just for his own walk, not just for getting ready to preach something, but for his own walk. And I say this, if the prophet of God was saying that he was ashamed of his life, where do we stand this morning? If the prophet of God was saying he didn't pray enough, then where do we stand this morning? If he was saying he was ashamed of his life as a Pentecostal, and he wasn't talking about Pentecostal denomination. He said what he was talking about was being identified with the disciples that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost and having a real Pentecost in your life. But he said, "I'm ashamed of my life." And if we look at it, we say, "Well, he didn't, you know, I'm not running around. I'm not going out into the world. I'm not doing all these things of the world." He wasn't doing all those things. But what it was his walk wasn't as close as it should have been. Our walk's not as close as it should be. We've let ourselves get dry in the Lord. I'm with you this morning. We ought to be ashamed. Brother Branham said, "I'm ashamed that I don't have more power in his presence. I'm ashamed that I know more an example of a Christian before my people." What kind of example are we being every day to the people we come in contact with? What kind of example are we being to our families? Hallelujah. Oh, sure, we're humans. We got flesh and we've got emotions, and the devil works on those areas. But friends, now's the time for us to take possession of the land. This land's what I'm talking about. Now it's time for us to rule over this flesh. Hallelujah. When the flesh don't feel like it, do it anyway. The flesh feels like arguing, don't do it. Flesh feels like fussing, don't do it. Flesh gets all discouraged and feels like complaining and moaning and crying. Don't do it. I'm ashamed I'm no more of an example of a Christian before my people. Jesus, have mercy on me. God, I'm not without fault. I need correcting too. And your Holy Spirit is speaking to me. He's speaking to me this morning also, friends. I'm right with you. That's why I've had this message begin to burn on my heart, and it really came to me 2 weeks ago and just burning on me. And, then I studied and I just had this thought, but I didn't know which way to go with it, how to present it or what to say. And I was praying that the Lord would just help me, lead me in the right way so that I could present what I was feeling. What was on my heart. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, what we need tonight is a good old-fashioned backwoods, sin-killing, sky-blue religion bleached under the power of the Holy Ghost, washed and whited saints. Not a whitewashing, but a washing white. There's a whole lot of difference in a whitewash and a washing white. Hallelujah. The whitewash just covers up. Washing white makes you clean. Hallelujah. Now there was a time when the Philistines had come up against Israel and King David. And David went before the Lord. And he prayed and he said, the Philistines have come up into Rephaim. And shall we go up and fight against them? And the Lord told him, no. He said, don't go up now. He said, but instead, take a compass and go around and come up behind them. And said, behind them is some mulberry trees. And said, you stay there until you hear a sound in the mulberry trees. And said, when you hear a sound rustling the mulberry trees, that'll be the hand of God moving. And then you go down, and he said, and you'll defeat the Philistines. And David took the camp of Israel, went around till he came to the mulberry trees, and he waited. And then all of a sudden there came a sound in the tops of the mulberry trees, begin to rustle, and the wind, amen, begin to blow in the mulberry trees. And he knew it was the hand of God. And he came down against the Philistines and smote them in such a way that his fame spread throughout all the country. And all the nations became afraid of David. I believe we should be hearing the sound in the mulberry trees this morning. I believe there's a sound of wind. I believe there's a rushing sound. And friends, we can defeat the Philistines in our lives. The things that have, the sins that have so easily beset us in the race that we're running, we can overcome. Hallelujah. This morning, it's when we stand and say, I'm going to make it, I'm going to overcome. Lord, I'm rededicating myself to you. I'm renewing my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to start again. There's a song that says, bring back the new again. Hallelujah. Like it used to be before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember, the song says, what I was like. You know, do you remember what you felt like when you first came to the Lord? Do you remember what it felt like when your life, you seemed to be walking on clouds? You seemed to be rejoicing. Hallelujah. And I know we got valleys we go through. I know we got times of discouragement, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about our walk with the Lord, whether no matter where we're facing discouragement or not, that we know that our walk with the Lord is where it should be. Hallelujah. Where we're not ashamed to come before the Lord. We're not coming and saying, Lord, I know I hadn't talked to you in a while, but I really need you now. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Bram said, God is just as willing to pour out his Holy Spirit on the audience today as he was at any other time throughout the ages. Hallelujah. We need a rededication. Hallelujah. We need to, friends, Brother Branham tells this story about this American Native American, I guess they call him, that was got converted. And the only words he knew in English were July and August. And so when he got converted, he got so happy he just started screaming July and August at the top of his lungs. And it was the only words he knew, but he said he just went around saying, July and August, July and August. Remind me of when, hallelujah, that great old soldier, Jack Cole, he said when he came to the Lord, he didn't know how to express himself. The only thing he knew to say when he got excited was hot dog. And he said, hot dog, I got saved.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Friends, we know how to praise God this morning. We know how to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't need to be taught. Hallelujah. We know enough words in the English language. And when it gets so far, you get so far gone in the spirit that you don't know how to express yourself, just holler. Just scream. Just raise your hand. Say, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God just flow over your being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why Christ speak? Brother Branham said, I see some of the tabernacle folks here. He was in Clarksville, Indiana. I see some of the tabernacle folks here, and I'm going to say this about the tabernacle. Called her the big sister. Said one thing the tabernacle needs up there at our church is a rededication and a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Say, I've already got the Holy Ghost. What you need is a refilling. You need to dig the ditch and let there be a pouring out of his Spirit upon your soul. Hallelujah. He said, everybody get down at the altar and pray until they get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. The whole church be filled with the power of God. That's what we need. Not only the tabernacle here, but the body of Christ universal, it needs a refilling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, David came down to a time when he was feeling this way. And he needed a rededication of his life. And he needed to. He had got kind of cold. Amen. And when he did, David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need our joy restored. When it's a joy to serve the Lord, it's a joy to come to church. Oh, Lord, we've allowed ourselves to get in such a place, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. When coming to church becomes a task, we've allowed ourselves to get it too dry toward the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this. When you got a people that rejoice at the word, it's a joy preaching to them. Hallelujah. Friends, I just believe as a church, we need to really dig down in our lives. We need to dig out all the trash. We need to dig out all the sins that's been easily besetting us, all the things that's been getting us down, all the things that have been taking up our time, the things that have been taking up our thoughts, the things that we've been directing our thoughts toward that really have no meaning. The things that we're allowing to get cluttered up in our minds. You know, your mind takes a picture of the things you see. Sometimes we allow our eyes to look at things we shouldn't be concentrating on, we shouldn't be looking at. And we'll get these images, you get these images in your head. And they come back to you at the most inappropriate times. Let's dig the deets deep this morning. Let's rededicate our lives to the Lord. Hallelujah, let's stand. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Friends, I want you to go with me in prayer. I want you to pray and you reach out to God for your life. Reach out to God yourself and each one of you just rededicate your life anew to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord, as a church, Lord, this morning, dear God, that I know you've called out by your hand, dear God. Lord, you brought us together, Lord. Father, you didn't bring us together so we could have social gatherings, Lord, but so that we could grow in you. We could hear the word. We could get ready to go in this rapture at this time that we're living, God, when the hour is growing so dark and the things around us in the world are growing so dark, dear God. And Lord, we see, dear God, that how, Father, the hand of Satan is moving upon the nation. And the approaches and the mindset that the nation has toward the things of God. And the mindset that they're beginning to have toward the things of sin and debauchery, Lord. And Father, it makes us know we're drawing closer to the end, dear Lord. Time's running out. God, I don't want to be cold, Lord. God, I don't want to be far from you on the day you return. But God, I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you this morning. God, I want to feel the joys of the Lord in my soul this morning. I want to feel you again, dear God. I want to feel, dear God, the power of God in my life. Hallelujah, we want to feel you, Lord. God, we want to know we're walking where we should be walking, dear God. We want you to restore to us the joy of our salvation. God, we know we stand here, every one of us this morning, we're saved before you. We're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Lord, we call you this morning, God, to give us back the joy, dear God, that somehow seems like has been robbed from us, dear Lord. God, we want to take back everything that Satan stole from us, everything he's taken. We want to take it back this morning, dear God. Hallelujah. Move upon your people, dear God. Listen to their prayers. Listen to their voices, dear God, as they call out to you, Lord. God, restore this church, Lord. I pray, God, restore to us the joy of our salvation in this assembly this morning. I pray, dear God, as we rededicate ourselves before you, to renew our lives, dear God. Renew us in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Not so that we have some emotion that makes us feel like a Christian, but that God, that we know that we're walking, dear God, as a Christian should. That we're being the right example that we should be before our family. We're being the right example we should be before our friends. We're being the right example that we should be between our co-workers. We're being the right example that we should be between the people that would cross our path, dear God. Hallelujah. Bless your people this morning, dear God, with your presence, Lord. Bless them, dear God. Hallelujah, this morning. And Father, receive our prayers this morning as we rededicate our lives to you. Have your way, we ask, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let it just stay here. Hallelujah, but take it with you. Amen. Every day, we should just rededicate our lives every day before the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. I tell you, friends, you'll find your walk stays closer the more you pray. The more you pray, the more you talk to the Lord each day, the closer you'll find that you are. Talk to the Lord before you go about your day. Amen. Talk to the Lord when you go to get in your car to go somewhere, have a little talk with Jesus before you go. Hallelujah. If you're going on a trip, then pray that the hand of God be with you and the mercies of God and traveling mercies go with you. Amen. On the way to work, amen, pray. Hallelujah. On your way home, pray. Hallelujah. Call upon God. Pray for one another. Amen. The Bible says to pray for one another. Hallelujah. Forgive one another, that your sins and trespasses be forgiven you. Pray for one another. Don't criticize one another. Hallelujah. Don't try to make comparisons. Don't pass judgments. You don't know what another person's going through. You don't know what they're facing. Hallelujah. You don't know the road that each one goes down every day. So pray for one another. We need one another's prayers. Hallelujah. Pray for the church. Hallelujah. 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 To where that we'll have joy when we come in here. Hallelujah. Then we're not looking at it like, I gotta go to the store. You know, a lot of people, they look at, well, I got to go grocery shopping. It ain't like it's a joy to them. It's something they got to do. Let's don't look at church that way. If we're looking at church that way, we need to pray. Not that it's something we got to do. Hallelujah. Not that it's something we got to do that we're glad when it's over. But something that we do to where we get to in the presence of God, we don't want to quit. We don't want to leave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that the things that has transpired because of the pandemic we've had to face and things we've had to do, that it did have, I'm sure it had an effect. But friends, we need to be to a place where things like that don't affect us. I'm not talking about that you go about ignoring it like it ain't real. But I'm talking about like when we couldn't have service. Grow strong. Grow strong in the Lord. Pray on your own. Read your Bible on your own. Listen to the messages on your own. Hallelujah. Be able to stand. Look, friends, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what we'll face before we leave out of here. Before the rapture takes place, I don't know what we'll face. You know, we hear about there being a squeeze coming on. I just say, what if? What if the squeeze comes on and they lock the doors of the churches and don't allow you to assemble at this building anymore? Are you going to get cold on God? Is your walk going to get cold? Are you going to get to a place where you're not ready to go in the rapture just because they lock the doors on the church? Friends, it's not this church you need to be dependent upon. You need to depend on God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Need to be able to stand, you and God. Not being propped up by somebody. We've went through many trials in this church. We've went through times of discouragement. We've went through some hard things. And some of y'all, as families and individuals, have went through some really tough times. Went through some hard things. Things that as in your flesh, you can't ever get over. There's still coming a rapture. And I still believe this message with all my heart. I don't care who turns their back on it, what way they go, I still believe it. I still believe God sent us a prophet to bring us the word, and I believe he delivered the word, and I believe he fulfilled everything that God sent him here to fulfill. I don't believe anything was left undone. I believe that what needs to take place now is for the bride of Christ to take the book and eat the book. I believe we need to become one with the message. Friends, I'll tell you what, you need to become so one with the word of God to where when the devil comes against you, you don't got to leaf through a Bible to get to something, but you become so one with the word that you can just say something from the word that'll help you stand. Hallelujah. I don't care if all you know is get behind me, Satan. Don't forget that one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I used to wonder as a boy how my dad seemed like he could remember so many scriptures. And then I realized just how much he read the Bible. And it wasn't like he sat around trying to memorize these things. I don't sit around trying to memorize the things that Brother Branham said, but I read them and I study them and it sticks. And you know, there's things that you've heard in this message. It just sticks with you. Hallelujah. We need to take these things. Amen. They're weapons against the devil. They're weapons that haven't been formed with hands. Hallelujah. It's weapons of God. Hallelujah. We can stand on God's promise. If all we know is that God's going to see us through, then hang on to that. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, like I said, what might take place before we leave out of here. But I can tell you this, friends. I've already seen that it doesn't require coming to church to serve the Lord. Now, I know we're supposed to assemble ourselves together, even so much more as we see the day approaching. But what I'm saying is, it's not the church we're dependent upon. It's God we're dependent upon. And if it comes down to a place where they do lock the doors, maybe we can meet in secret, I don't know. But if it comes down to a time where they lock the door on you somewhere where you all by yourself, can you stand? Paul and Silas were in a jail, a prison, shackled, hallelujah, chained up. And they still sung the glories of God. They sung until the presence of God came down in an earthquake and shook that whole prison. And the doors flew open and the chains broke off. I know we serve that kind of a God. Do we have that kind of faith that when we would get in a situation, even something like that, can we still, when Satan comes and try to bind us in chains of doubt, can we sing the praise of God until the chains fall off? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Don't leave nothing here today. Take it all with you. Amen. Take the blessed name of Jesus with you. Amen, as a shield from every snare. Hallelujah, from all the darts of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there was a brother I knew years ago that any time that I was feeling a little down or whatever, I could get around this brother and just something about him changed the atmosphere. Something about him. You just couldn't be sad and be around this brother. Something about him, you'd just get happy after a while. And it wasn't that he sat around and counseled me on how to do or how to face this or how to face that. It was just being around him. We might not be talking about anything serious, but just being around him would change how I felt. I want to be like that. Don't you? My dad used to always say, we got too many thermometers. Thermometers go up and down with the temperature. He said, what we need to be is thermostats where we can set the temperature. We can set the atmosphere, not be affected by it like a thermometer, but set the atmosphere like a thermostat. Hallelujah. My dad really didn't know a whole lot of nothing about heating and air and that, but he knew something about thermometers and thermostats. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.